Still further out in the solar system is Saturn, 10 times as far from the sun as the Earth. 1% of the sunlight is here on Earth, even colder, even colder. And certainly no one's suggesting any liquid water out there. But it turns out there may be some important information about the chemistry which occurred in the Earth's atmosphere before life evolved. The oxygen here on Earth is generated by microbial life. It turns out there's a moon of Saturn called Titan, which is larger than the planet Mercury. So if this were in orbit around the sun, we'd call it a planet. But it's in orbit around Jupiter, Saturn, so we call it a moon. Unlike Mercury, though, Titan has a very substantial atmosphere. The surface pressure on Titan is 60% greater than here on Earth. The atmosphere is mainly nitrogen, just like here on Earth. But unlike Earth, there's no oxygen. Instead of oxygen, there is methane, natural gas. Now, here on Earth, There you have the problem. You need the oxygen. lots of gas, but no oxygen. Here we got lots of oxygen and no gas. The effect of sunlight on the atmosphere, and when we have pollutants, is to create oxides, nitrous oxide, sulfur oxides, ozone. These are all the components of smog, photochemical smog. Well, sunlight won't do that on Titan because no oxygen. Guess what sunlight does? It converts the methane into complex hydrocarbons. This image is very fuzzy, not because we didn't have the resolution, but because the hydrocarbons polymerize into micron-sized particles, which form a cloud, a haze, which completely blocks the view of the surface. We cannot see the surface of Titan because it's enshrouded in a cloud made of hydrocarbon polymers, which are made in that atmosphere. It's really a bizarre world. And in fact, it turns out some of the hydrocarbons which are made in that atmosphere, such as ethane, would be liquid at the surface temperature and pressure on Titan, and there could be lakes of liquid organic material on this world. Now, what we're going to do is what we've already started doing. Is this is the Cassini spacecraft. Here's a human, so you can see this is a large spacecraft. It would not quite reach the ceiling in this room, 6,000 kilograms. It will go into orbit around Saturn, and this will be in 2004. It was launched last October. It has carrying this probe built by the European Space Agency, which will drop into the atmosphere of Titan. And it's instrumented so that as it floats down through this orange atmosphere, it's orange because of the hydrocarbons, it will measure the gaseous hydrocarbon materials which are being made there today. And as I say, and may resemble in some important ways the chemistry which occurred early on Earth. It'll have an imaging system, so we'll be able to see what this bizarre world looks like. There may well be lakes, but where there's dry surface, I don't want to use the term land, where there's a dry surface, that the hydrocarbons which form this haze will be have rained down on the surface just like snowfall, creating layer upon layer of organic residue which has been deposited there for probably billions of years. So there's a kind of a natural chemistry laboratory where the products are sitting there frozen in time waiting for us to investigate. Now, this is 2004 when this happens. And once those measurements are made, I'm sure that we're going to want to be able to go back, not just dropping something in the atmosphere, but actually go back to the surface of Titan and to explore it. The challenges are really significant. The temperature on the surface of Titan is about minus 175 centigrade. Hardly any sunlight, as I said. 1%, even if you're above the haze layer, below the haze layer, even less than that. Very challenging, but it's the sort of thing which could hold some important clues to the precursors of life here. Another key element, though, may well be comets. Here is Halley's Comet, as imaged by the European Giotto spacecraft in 1986. Comets are the leftover from when the solar system formed. Many of the comets ended up inside the giant planets. They brought in lots of water, which is what Uranus and Neptune are made of mainly, as water ice. But it turns out that comets are not snow white. Comets are charcoal black on their surface. They are covered with an organic material of some sort. When Giotto flew by, it flew by and flew through this dust, measured the kinds of basic elements in that dust. It found carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. Those are the elements which make up organic molecules. But the Giotto mission couldn't tell us what kind of organic molecules. The question is, what is this stuff? Where did it come from? And what role did this organic material, which the comets brought in not only to the giant planets, but into the Earth, into Mars, into Venus in the early bombardment era, what role did that organic material play in the inventory of material out of which life formed? Well, we can't answer any of those questions unless we can get a sample of it, and that's exactly what we're going to do. The challenge is that as you fly through a comet like this, you fly through at 10,000 kilometers per hour. And if you just stick something out to catch the dust, guess what happens? It evaporates. Or either that or punches a hole right through your catcher if it's big enough. So, what do? We catch it in this stuff. This is aerogel. Now, I'm told in Australia there's something called fairy floss. That's what this is, except instead of being made out of sugar, this is made out of silicate. It's essentially mainly nothing. We can make this material with the same density as air. Actually, what the material we're going to use is actually 6 times the density of air. So basically, it's like taking a catcher made of air and catching the dust particles. So next slide, in fact, shows the material sticking up. We have to protect the spacecraft itself, so we have these bumpers on front. But this material sticks up, and the little dust particles will embed themselves in it without being destroyed. We'll pull those back into this return capsule and return it to Earth. Now, this is not something we're thinking about doing. We're launching this mission next February, and it will return the sample to Earth in January of 2006. We will have a sample of organic material from the surface of a comet to analyze. Well, here, in fact, are all the samples we're going to have over the next 12 years or so. Samples of Mars, samples of a comet. We're planning to actually land on a comet a little further off and pick up some material and bring it back. This one we don't know how to do yet. This one, as I said, we're about ready to launch. This one will launch in 01. This will be a sample of solar material. It comes from the sun. It's the same basic principle, except in this case, rather than aerogel, we have disks of ultra-pure silicon, which will capture the solar wind and return it to Earth in 2003. The Japanese are planning a mission called MUSIS, which will fire a projectile into an asteroid, blasting some small pieces of the asteroid off and capturing it and bringing it back to Earth. We're cooperating with them on that mission and are providing a small little nano rover, which will be put down on the surface to do some surface studies along with the return of the material. And that material will also come back to Earth in January of 2006. So by within the next 8, 10, 12 years, we will have a fairly diverse set of samples of material to study in terms of trying to understand the role that these bodies may have played in the origin of life in the solar system. Thank you very much.